Hello, good afternoon. I'm Amy Leidick. Here we have Rula Abisamra and Ruth Dawson. We represent three-fourths of a multidisciplinary team funded by the Emory Global Health Institute. We worked this past summer with the National Pro-Choice Alliance in Mexico City. Today we are going to be presenting the process and our final project, which culminated in an evidence-based messaging campaign for a pro-choice advocacy work. And here's our presenter disclosures. We have no relationships to disclose. Today we're going to discuss sort of the order. We'll start with the background of abortion in Mexico. Next, we'll explain the Mexican National Pro-Choice Alliance, who are our hosts in Mexico. We'll explain the Emory GHI Multidisciplinary Scholars Team, our different backgrounds, and what each of us contributed to the project. We'll explain the team research both individually, and then finally we'll give a few examples of our collaborative messaging campaign. This is a timeline of abortion, both restrictions and liberalization in Mexico. Prior to April 2007, elective abortion was illegal across Mexico. Each state determined the laws surrounding abortion. Certain states allowed abortion under certain circumstances, generally for health of the woman and the case of rape. On April 24th, 2007, the Mexico City decriminalized abortion in the first trimester. They did this by redefining abortion as the termination of pregnancy after 12 weeks gestation. Prior to 12 weeks gestation, termination of abortion was termed an interruption of pregnancy. August 28th, 2008, the Mexican Supreme Court upheld what became known as the Mexico City Law. From this point on, women can receive free abortion services within the Mexico City limits at public facilities. After the law change in April 2007, states outside of Mexico City, 16 of the 31 states passed personhood laws, which defined life starting at the point of conception, thus restricting abortion rights in those states. This gives an overview of the different laws in Mexico. The kind of background colors represent the previous laws prior to the personhood amendments. As you can see, the little blue spot is Mexico City, so that's where abortion is legal in the first trimester. Going down the list here, green being more liberal, pink being the most restrictive. Where you see the diamonds are the states that enacted the personhood laws since 2007.
We want to talk a little bit about the Mexican National Pro-Choice Alliance, which was the in-country vehicle for our research. The alliance requested a team of research assistants who would be placed with various member organizations, but would collaborate together on a shared cross-cutting project. And the expected deliverable that they wanted in this situation of liberalization and then backlash in the states was a plan for a pro-choice messaging campaign based on a synthesis of the most compelling evidence from their recent studies to destigmatize and de-dramatize abortion for women who have had or may need to have an abortion, especially outside of Mexico City. To do this work, we applied for funding from two organizations at Emory, the Global Health Institute, and the Fund for the Global Elimination of Maternal Mortality from Abortion. So we collectively were known as the GHI team in Mexico. I can explain a little bit about the alliance, also called the Alianza or ANDAR. Population Council conducts research and advocacy focusing on sexual and reproductive health, especially clinical and social intervention research. The Information Group for Reproductive Choice, as it's known by its English name, is a legal advocacy organization that conducts advocacy for reproductive rights, and they especially target media and decision makers. Catholics for the Right to Decide conducts abortion discourse, education, and research, but all through a Catholic framework, and so they talk about ethical and Catholic perspectives on abortion and family planning. The other two organizations, IPAS and Gender Equity, which are in this alliance, did not have interns placed this particular project, but we're hoping that in the future they will. So Population Council, Information Group for Reproductive Choice, and Catholics for the Right to Decide each had scholars placed from our group with them. And their goals are to jointly improve access to safe and legal abortion in Mexico and promote public discourse favoring reproductive and sexual rights. Our GHI team consisted of 4 scholars. We had a multidisciplinary selection process and research process. Amy was an MPH student from the Rollins School of Public Health, and so was I. And we both worked with Population Council, and I also collaborated on a project of the National Institute of Public Health in Mexico. Maria Presley, who is not here with us today, is a divinity student at the Emory Candler Theology School, and she worked with Catholics for the Right to Decide, investigating Mexican ethical, feminist, and Catholic arguments favoring abortion. Ruth Dawson, who's here, is a dual degree law and public health student working with Information Group for Reproductive Choice. She researched 8 published surveys of Mexican public opinion that was regarding reproductive legislation that had been passed recently. Amy and I, working at Population Council, Amy worked on quantitative surveys of 3,000 Mexican Catholics, and I worked on qualitative interviews of women who had recently had abortions in the public legal abortion system in Mexico City.
We'd like to give you a little background on our individual research that came together to synthesize our main findings. First, we have Maria. In her research, Maria came across the idea of reappropriating traditional Catholic imagery. We found that most women in the Bible were seen as downtrodden, praying, and suffering. And the prime example, of course, is the Virgin of Guadalupe. The Virgin actually was originally subversive because she first was said to have appeared to indigenous poor Mexicans, but over time she was altered into this form of the praying, suffering mother. So the middle and right images you can see are a kind of a new interpretation of that same image. The one in the middle shows an everyday woman and celebrates her industry and her crafts. The one on the left actually shows a woman taking hold of the traditional elements, the cape and the snake in the image, and joyfully running with them. Rula, oh, I'm sorry. There we go. Rula analyzed interviews of women in Mexico City who had received legal abortions post-April 2007. This qualitative data provided compelling messages in the patient's own words that we could use to reduce the isolation and anxiety of women who feel that they're alone in choosing abortion. I'm sorry, I did it again. Next, we have Amy's analysis of the data from the Mexican Catholic study. Amy did a lot of statistics. She found, for example, in the first graph, you can see that over half of Mexican Catholics believe that abortion should be available in some circumstances. The bottom graph shows Mexican Catholic support for abortion by indication. The indications that are most supported are the ones that are seen to be more valid because they're seen to be more outside of the woman's control, such as when the life of the woman is in danger or the pregnancy results from rape. And the ones that are seen to have the least support are the ones that are seen to be less acceptable because they are technically more in the woman's control, at least in the perception of these Mexican Catholics. It is interesting to note, however, kind of right up in the middle, the indication that pregnancy is within the first 12 weeks of gestation without any sort of reason, so first trimester pregnancy, was supported by over a third of Mexican Catholics. And then in my research, I encountered the idea that many Mexicans feel a disconnect between how the government should decide issues regarding abortion and how they actually decide issues regarding abortion. This graph illustrates that a plurality of people think that lawmakers should consult a woman's opinion first regarding abortion legislation, but a plurality think that they actually consult their political parties. So playing off of that idea, this is one of our messages. Basically, much data shows not only that disconnect, but also that many Mexicans don't actually know that these laws are being passed in their states. So this message promotes both awareness of the laws and action against the closed-door, secretive policies.
So we took all these different individual projects and research, and we came together to create a collaborative messaging campaign. We created 20 messages, which we presented to the National Pro-Choice Alliance this last August. We have 3 of our favorites to show to you all, and we're going to kind of demonstrate the collaborative process that went into creating these messages. The messages were all, we tried to tailor them to fit under these cross-cutting themes: religion and faith, abortion realities, leveraging existing public support, consequences of abortion laws, and wider sexual and reproductive health. This is one of our first messages. We wanted to bring about a message about responsibility and that women are responsible. This came from Roost Research, finding that the largest proportion of respondents in the Mexican respondents thought that women received abortions because they lacked responsibility. We wanted to pull in Maria's research on ecofeminism and the emphasis on the everyday experiences of women. So we brought in ideas of the normal kind of everyday processes of these women and how they are responsible in their everyday lives. We also brought in from my research the fact that 43% of Mexican Catholics believe attending Mass is a principal characteristic that defines a Catholic. Also, 70% of Mexican Catholics pray sometimes or frequently. So we wanted to include in these everyday experiences a component of religion. And kind of the overriding idea of this is that you're a good woman doing the best you can, kind of a keep up the good work, you guys are doing great. We also created this message, faces we see but hearts we do not know. This comes from traditional Mexican proverb. Maria brought in multiple traditional Mexican proverbs as a way to sort of connect the traditional religion between images and words to connect those with pro-women messages. So we used these proverbs in 6 of our 20 messages. We created this message to somewhat reduce stigma. From my research, we found that when respondents were asked about their hypothetical friend Alejandra who had an abortion, 56% thought that Alejandra should keep her secret to avoid being judged. Over half thought that she should feel ashamed. So we wanted to create a message that with the intention of reducing this stigma. Also, this point at the bottom, wanted to explain how widespread abortion actually is in Mexico. This comes from a population council estimate that 33 abortions occur per 1,000 women of reproductive age. So coming from Roost Research, we sort of rephrase that to be more understandable to the Mexican public. Then also we decided to come up with the multiple faces, the different types of women that have abortion with the intention of sort of changing the image of the type of woman that has an abortion. From Rula's research, among the women who had the legal abortions in Mexico City in 2008, half were single, half were not. Half were unemployed, half were not. Some had children, some did not. The ages ranged from 11 to 52 years old. So we wanted to express this idea that all women have abortions and with the intention of normalizing the procedure. Lastly, we wanted to bring in a message about the importance of safe abortion and the consequences of illegal abortion and restricting abortion. Again, we have a depiction of Antonia, who is a Mexican woman. We brought in the reality that regardless of the legality of abortion, women will still seek abortions. By making them legal, then you have a service where there's regulations, the providers who provide abortions are trained, they use safe, sterile techniques. When women do not have access to those safe services, then they resort to other means, being an unsafe provider. We have this WHO statistic about approximately 13% of all maternal deaths are attributable to unsafe abortion. So the consequences of unsafe abortion can and often are grave. Also, the reality that women do attempt their own abortions. From Rula's research, she found that 14% of the respondents had attempted their own abortions, had attempted to terminate their own pregnancies some other time prior to having a legal procedure in Mexico City. This is also a quote from a patient saying that, you know, regardless of if this service were provided or not, she still would have attempted to terminate her pregnancy. So it was important that this safe service was available. So that was what we presented to the Alliance. We kind of came up with some next steps that we would like to see in the future. First, at the beginning of our summer, we came up with a target audience of women in Mexico, the women outside of Mexico City. We'd like to see messaging directed at men as partners of women who have had abortion, men just as partners, men as partners in reproduction. Also messages to humanize abortion providers, being that one of the big ideas is that to understand that abortion providers are, you know, they will provide non-judgmental care. So women seeking abortions feel that they're in a safe place and will feel safe in obtaining those services. Lastly, no, not lastly, third to last, focus groups with Catholic Bible study. Maria had started this in Mexico, Bible study groups of women who had abortions or considering abortion, women who support abortion. And then lastly, we're actually in the process of creating the team again to go of Emory graduate students to go back for summer of 2011. We had 4 students in 3 organizations, and for next year we'd like to have 4 students in 4 organizations. One of the main organizations being Gender Equity, where they have actual mobilization on the ground, grassroots, sort of put a more direct link to what the action that's actually going on on the ground. This is a thank you to our host organizations that were obviously very pivotal in the success of this project.